local talk about local issues. It's the Gary Bouton Show on the AJR News Network.
Spike, summer's back. 68 degrees today is the latest I saw. Feels good. Welcome in to a Monday show on the AJR News Network. Spike is with us, obviously, since I've mentioned his name. I'm not talking to the corner over there. Mike King handling news duties, or phone duties, actually. Brittany Murray handling news duties. It's National Blonde Brownie Day, Spike. So the question of the day becomes, are blonde brownies more fun than chocolate brownies? I haven't had blonde brownies that often. On our program today, we're going to talk about solar energy and how you can convert your home to solar power right here in North Central West Virginia. Then we've invited in Becky Enix-Chong, who's going to talk about the Master Gardeners program here in Harrison County, which starts up again in early February. And later in the program, Dr. Lou Manus from the State Board of Education will talk about some of the changes being made to credits, the number of credits that seniors need in order to graduate high school, and also the scoring system that is used in the state, where I think we used to be 92, maybe 93 is an A, 92 was a B. Now we're going to go to what most other county school systems use in other states, which is 90 to 100 is an A, 89 is a B, et cetera. Just make us more compatible with other states. Okay, solar power. Starting out today, we welcome Autumn Long, who's the program director of Solar United Neighbors of West Virginia. Autumn, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Thanks for waiting patiently while we wander through all that other stuff to start the day. I was telling you when we chatted a little bit before we started that I think most of us that are listening know about solar energy. I wasn't that acquainted with what opportunities exist here in the local area. Let's start by talking about Solar United Neighbors, which is where your work is invested.
Yeah, so Solar United Neighbors is a nonprofit that is dedicated to helping people go solar and advocating for the rights of solar owners and solar supporters. We've been around for about 10 years, and we've been working here in West Virginia since 2014.
Been around nationally for 10 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Our founder started her own neighborhood solar co-op in her neighborhood of Washington, D.C. about 10 years ago, and that is how we got started. And since then, we have grown to working in currently 9 states and counting, with the goal of being in all 50 states and being a national voice for solar.
What you've got my curiosity up already. What rights of solar energy users need to be protected?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things happening from one state to the next with regard to policy that allows homeowners with solar to be credited for the electricity that they produce and contribute to the grid.
Okay.
So a lot of different policy issues. And here in West Virginia, we have a good net metering policy, but there are a lot of other incentives that some other states have that we don't have here in West Virginia.
So solar is still a good savings opportunity for people if they convert their home?
Yeah, absolutely. Solar is a very great financial investment for homeowners and business owners here in West Virginia.
Over time, but it's not an immediate payback, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
There's an initial upfront cost, of course, and I would compare that cost at this point to that of a used car. You know, for an average homeowner, you're going to invest upfront between $10,000 and $20,000 in a rooftop solar system, depending on the size of your home and your energy needs. And keep in mind, there's a 30% federal tax credit that will offset some of that upfront cost.
I was wondering if that got hit in the recent tax bill.
No, it's still there in full through 2019. And then it starts to step down and is set to expire in 2022. So I am really advising people to kind of like pull the trigger now and like go solar and take advantage of that tax credit.
Yeah.
So that upfront investment, you know, it's substantial, but it's doable for a lot of folks.
Is that why we have solar co-ops? Does it help? I mean, obviously you share interests and lobbying or anything like that, but does it help as far as the investment in some way, the upfront investment?
Yeah, our solar co-ops are effectively groups of neighbors who all get together and go solar together. And we're there to help organize the group and to serve as an advocate for our co-op members and to help guide you and educate you through the process. So our solar co-ops, they're essentially a bulk purchase program or a consumer co-op. So we do see on average, you know, 10 to 20% savings for our co-op members through the group purchase aspect. And then also just the sort of confidence and trust that people have because they know that we're there as an advocate for
them.
Well,
you would want reliable contractors, reliable products, and most of us making that kind of an adaptation to our home wouldn't have a lot of knowledge about.
Exactly. So we're there to advocate for consumers and to just educate people, which is a ton of what I do, is just public education.
So let's say someone wanted to make the conversion. How does the process start? Where do I go?
Yeah. So, well, I would suggest you check out our website online, solarunitedneighbors.org.
Okay. I had brought, you know it by heart. SolarUnitedNeighbors.org.
Correct.
And there really is all kinds of, and it tells where the various co-ops are in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
How many are there? It looks like quite
We currently have 3 active co-ops in the Eastern Panhandle, and we have been all over the state. So we're wrapping up co-ops in Charleston, the Mid-Ohio Valley, Huntington. We were in Lewisburg and Beckley last year. We were here in North Central West Virginia last year. And we will be back in this area later in 2018 for another round of co-ops.
Okay, so these are, the co-ops are actually formed for a specific build-out conversion project. Okay.
Yeah, they have a specific time frame. So there's a start and end time to the co-ops because everyone is getting the same base pricing throughout that time frame with the same installer.
Okay.
So that's how we're able to really offer that really.
Okay, I thought the co-op kind of continued down the road.
If folks are really into it and we find that there's sustained interest in a specific area or location, we'll absolutely come back and do another round of co-op and issue another request for proposals from installers who then bid on those co-op jobs.
We're talking with Autumn Long, obviously, about solar energy. She's the program director for Solar United Neighbors of West Virginia. They've put together co-ops in various locations throughout the state, working on some presently. How do I know that my home can be retrofitted to accommodate? I've got a big old brick home, let's say, with old slate on my roof.
Slate can be a challenge.
All right, I wondered what's
mostly. I mean, solar can go on most any roof, and you can do solar on slate. It's just that some installers won't work on slate just because of the cost and the delicacy of that material. But for asphalt shingle, standing seam metal, for flat commercial rubber membrane roofs, all of those work perfectly well for solar, as does a ground mount system as an alternative. If your roof doesn't work, you can mount solar on pillars on the ground.
All right. And we've seen that in many cases where it's more of an industrial type setup where a whole field can be set up with a solar array.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so you could set up a mini array in your backyard or field somewhere, and it would be wired into your electrical grid.
Yes. And here in West Virginia, where folks, you know, tend to have property around their houses, that's a fairly common option if your roof doesn't work. So to think about your roof, there are a few things, you know, a south-facing roof line.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what about the tree environment and all of that? Is that
you want a non-shaded roof? If you live deep in the forest, you may not be able to get a lot of solar power at your location. If you have a fairly unshaded south-facing roof line, east and west can also work for solar now. The panels have become a lot more efficient in recent years and a lot more affordable. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the payoff for a homeowner to go solar, it's really better than it's ever been. And solar panels are warrantied to produce power for 25 years.
Okay.
So you're going to be looking at this as a long-term investment, you know, and for a typical homeowner in West Virginia, we see about a 10 to 12 year payoff period through electricity savings. And after that, you're just making free energy for yourself on your roof for at least a couple decades into the future.
Let's talk about building up a credit with a power company. They'll actually, there are going to be times of the year when you're actually, your home is producing more energy than you need, more electricity than you need.
That's right.
And the power company gives you a credit for that?
That's right. Okay. So on sunny days when your solar panels are producing a lot of electricity, the excess actually flows out through your electric meter and helps to power your neighbor's homes and the next building down the street. And your utility company credits you for every single kilowatt hour of electricity that your panels produce. You get a one-to-one retail rate credit for that on your bill at the end of the month. So it's possible to offset up to 100% of your annual electricity use through your solar panels.
Wow. What about bank loans? Will banks lend money for solar conversion?
Yeah, a typical home equity loan or line of credit is a very common.
I just wondered if there were any prohibitions on it for whatever reason. I don't know why.
But. Absolutely not. Any, just like any other home renovation, a bank will finance that.
How long have you been doing this, Autumn?
So I've been doing this job for about a year, a little over a year, and I went solar at my home about three years ago.
Obviously, if you're going to be a good salesperson, we would hope you're invested yourself.
Yeah, and it's great.
Is it working?
Really happy with it. It's offsetting the lion's share of our electric needs on our farm out in rural Harrison County, and I'm just pleased as punch.
How do you get out and market this? Because, again, in chatting with you a little bit before we started, I mentioned that I find the whole process fascinating. I was not at all knowledgeable about what might exist here in the local community. So what are some of the things you're doing to try to get the word out?
Yeah, we really like to partner with local organizations in the local communities of West Virginia where we go. So it really helps to have folks on the ground who know their local communities and can connect us in with those networks. Okay. So be they nonprofits, community groups, businesses, municipalities, you know, we love it when local governments get involved and really want to back this sort of thing in their communities.
Well, that's a good question. What about co-ops that would help a bigger business or industry? Can you help there too? Do we have that type of setup in West Virginia?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some really good incentives available for small businesses and farms. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has a program called Rural Energy for America program, or REAP, through which grant funding is available for up to 25% of the cost of a solar installation. So for rural small businesses, and in West Virginia, almost the entire state classifies as rural.
Yeah.
And for farms, there's a lot of great opportunities available, and we can absolutely help you with that.
So if you're the program director for Kiwanis Rotary, any of those, Lions Club, Autumn's willing to come to your group and talk about solar energy, solar power, and converting your home to solar. What about, what if for some reason, here's a good reason. I'm pretty well educated on solar power and solar energy. I don't need a co-op. Can you still help me if I want to go it alone?
Absolutely. We also have a membership program. So if you aren't in a co-op area or you don't want to go solar through a co-op, you can become a member of Solar United Neighbors, through which we can help you connect to local installers. And we can help you review the proposals you get from those installers so you really understand the pricing, the equipment, the warranties. And again, we're a nonprofit. We're not associated with any specific installers or manufacturers. So we're really there.
You're not benefiting in any way.
Exactly.
It's just to help folks make this change if they so desire. Autumn Long, Program Director, Solar United Neighbors of West Virginia. URL again, website?
SolarUnitedNeighbors.org.
If you need to know more, there's a lot of information. I was perusing that site last night, and there's, I think, just about anything you could come up with in the form of a question. There's probably an answer there or a contact.
Absolutely.
There for you. Okay, Autumn, thanks.
Thank you, Gary.
That was great. Enjoyed it. All right, that's all the time we have, but we'll be back. We're going to talk with Becky Enix-Chong. There's a new training program for master gardeners starting up in Harrison County in early February. We'll be back with Becky right after this.
And now, back to the Gary Boughton Show on the AJR News Network.
And it's going to be, I heard, almost 68 degrees today. I'm ready to do some gardening, so we invited Becky Enoch-Strong to join us. She's president of the Harrison County Chapter of Master Gardeners. Becky, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is lovely. We can go out and do a little digging today, can't we?
I know. It's almost pond weather.
I'm liking it. Well, you've got a program for Master Gardeners starting up. I guess you do this every year, but you have one starting in early February. So we wanted to get the word out. And I've read a lot about this. Usually you get some good press in the paper when they when you've got a training program starting out. But let's go back and kind of help people understand exactly what a Master Gardener is.
All right. Master gardeners are...
I'm a gardener, but I'm certainly not a master gardener. My wife would probably fall into master gardener category, but yeah.
Okay. Well, you don't have to be a master. We will teach you how to become a master gardener.
Sounds good.
With our program. And it does start off on... the first classes start on February the 6th, and February the 1st is the cutoff date to sign up. And you can sign up by contacting the Harrison County Extension Office at 304-624-8650 and just let them know that you want to sign up for the classes. Now, Master Gardeners, in order to become a Master Gardener, you take 40 hours of classes. And those usually run once a week, 3 hours on one night, and I think those are going to be on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
After you have completed your hours, and I mean after you've completed your classes, and you have to complete or be present there for at least 80% of those.
No cutting class.
No cutting class. you will take a test, you know, just to see if it's not a pass-fail type of thing.
Yeah.
But just to see, you know, how much you have learned and if, you know, if you're adept at researching, you know, a problem or something like that.
And Becky, what I learned not that long ago, and I didn't realize it, this is not just for someone that wants to do better landscaping around their yard. There's a volunteer component to this as well.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
After you've completed your classes, you are required to, that first year, from your anniversary up until your anniversary date from graduating the classes, to put in 40 hours of volunteer work in the community on a variety of programs that we already have in place, or if you have a program that you are interested in working with in the community, then you can get that approved by extension and work your own program. But that 40 after you complete that 40 hours of volunteering, then you become a certified master gardener.
And so in a sense, you get deputized to help the Extension Office conduct other horticulture programs and activities?
Yes.
And what might some of those be here in the local area?
Okay. We have a variety of programs. One is, to give an example, is that we do programs at... let's see. Where do I start?
I know. Just pick out one or two.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up an email I got because I know there was a big list. I'll try to find it while you're trying to think of one.
That's okay. we partner with the Harrison County Prevention Partnership Community Gardens. We have and continue to work with the Monticello Mary McCormick Community Garden and Nutter Fort. Has a garden that we work on. We've done some work with Genesis through that program. We also have the Fort New Salem Weaver's Garden.
Okay.
And Herb Garden, and you know, teach about the plants and their uses. during the periods of time that the Fort is sponsoring programs. We have a Seeds to Go program through several area libraries where donated seeds are brought in and people can check those seeds out the same as they do a book. They can plant their seeds and harvest them. And it would be nice if they could then return some seeds. It doesn't have to be the same seeds that they checked out. But if they bring in extra seeds or, you know, some seeds that they have harvested for the following year to
Becky, I need to cut you off, but we're going to come back to you. Can you hang on for a
sure.
second? We got to check our news, and we'll be back to you right after this.
Your daily dose of sanity. The Gary Bouton Show on the AJR News Network.
And before we so rudely cut her off, we were talking with Becky Enix-Chong, the president of the Harrison County chapter of Master Gardeners. Sorry about that, Becky. Once you got rolling on that list, you did great.
Well, if I could continue just for a moment, we also participate in the Shinston Community Garden. And that garden provides approximately 1,000 pounds of food annually to a local food pantry.
Oh, great.
We help with the Notre Dame Memorial Garden and assist with helping the students learn how to plant and maintain a garden. We have a Healthy Thumbs and Healthy Joints Garden in West Milford, which promotes healthy lifestyle through working in the garden.
Well, Becky, let's back up and let's because we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
Let's talk about the specific types. What am I specifically going to learn about gardening and horticulture in order to earn my certification before we get into all this volunteer work?
Okay. We provide the Master Gardener Training Program provides what we'd like to think of as a balanced and integrated practical course in plant science. And some of the core topics are orientation to the extension of the Master Gardener Program, basic botany, soils and soil fertility, basic entomology, and for those that don't know what entomology is, it's a study of insects, and plant disease diagnosis, integrated pest management and pesticide use and safety, home lawn care, and the study of annuals, perennials and bulbs, trees and shrubs, home vegetable production, home fruit production, house plants, and communication skills, and there's more.
Yeah. Well, now some of that is pretty heady stuff. What level of gardener should I be to sign up for a Master Gardeners program?
You don't have to have ever pulled a weed
wow.
in your entire life to participate in the program. That's what the training is all about.
Yeah, now you're talking. That's I said I was a gardener. That's probably a lie, but I have pulled a few weeds in my lifetime. So if that gets
then
me,
you'd be right at home.
If that gets me into the program, then that sounds great. How many folks typically sign up for one of these training sessions?
Well, it varies. We've had as many as 30 people sign up in the past, and we've had as few as 5. We do need to have at least 5 in order to run the classes. The instructors are West Virginia University professors, and so you're getting quality instruction, and we do not feel it's fair to bring them all the way down from the university in the February months and things if there's less than 5 students.
Yeah, that makes sense. What if I'm a homeowner or I own a small farm and I've got issues? Can an individual call and request the services of a master gardener?
Yes. One of the main things, and something that has to be mandatory in any of our programs, is the educational component. We mm-hmm. are there to help educate the community to the best growing practices that are out there today. So if you have questions, One place that you can really get them answered is we sponsor a spring clinic, which is our only fundraiser throughout the year. And that will be held in April of this year. And we have a booth set up to answer anybody's questions that they have on any kind of a gardening issue. But you can also call in to the Harrison County Extension Office, and they can either help you there or put you in touch with a master gardener who has the expertise to help you with the problem you're having.
Becky, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. I'm thinking I might be able to guess at it, but we have listeners down in the Buchanan area all the way down to Summersville. Are there extension offices offering the same type of training for master gardeners in those areas as well?
Yes. Now, I'm not sure about all areas as far as that goes, but I do know that there are master gardener programs operating, I believe, in at least 50 of the 55 counties in West Virginia.
All right. And they presumably could find out more information by going to the WVU Extension Office site?
Yes, or call their own county extension.
Oh, okay. That's, yeah, good point, yeah. Are additional sessions available? If I can't block out the time to do it here in February, March, April, when's the next time you'll do it again?
It will be next year.
Oh, yes. It is only once a year?
It's only once a year.
Okay. Well, if you're interested in gardening, even slightly, and you like to help other people, what a great idea to learn more about it. Master Gardener Program. You learn and you go out and you help present and teach and educate others. Becky, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That was great. Becky Enich Chong is the president of the Harrison County chapter of Master Gardeners, but just call your local county extension office and they can probably give you more information about what's available in your area. Okay, time for us to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk to Dr. Lou Manus. She's the assistant superintendent of the West Virginia Board of Education. We're going to talk about some changes being made in required credits to graduate high school. We'll be back with Dr. Manus right after this.
Weekdays from 9, it's the Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
The State Board of Education recently approved a reduction in high school graduation credits. We invited Dr. Lou Manus to join us. She's assistant superintendent with the West Virginia Board of Education. Dr. Manus, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you along. And, you know, the first big question in this change in graduation credits, and I'm confident quite a few folks have heard about this, but let's go right to the why.
Okay. The policy 2510 is generally reviewed about every 2 years. Legislation will often require us to go in there and consider that policy. And as we've talked with stakeholders, we have general regular meetings with stakeholders, and it's been brought up multiple times over the last couple of years, wanting that flexibility, and we listened.
Mm-hmm. How does changing the number of credits, and the required number is going down, how does that grant more flexibility?
Well, when we look at what stakeholders were telling us is that they wanted more instructional time for students, reducing that number of class periods of today for like 7 to 8 to 6 periods allows for that longer period of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
They can have extended time for struggling students, offering an additional period for intensive instruction in a specific course. You know, we have our high school students that in some areas where they travel to CTE programs, and so they would lose a potential credit due to that traveling time where we don't have a comprehensive high school. And another area, when we look at freshman failures, you know, some students will go in that first year of high school, and if they would fail one course or two courses, and that puts them on the track for the rest of their high school career without being able to take any kind of course of their choice.
Because they're doing remedial work to try to get caught up?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And not being able to take, you know, band
or
some of these other courses. And,
yeah.
And you know, this is that 22 credits is certainly the floor And counties will have that flexibility. The national average is 20.8.
We were at 24 was the requirement, and it's going to lower to 22.
Correct.
But it's only if a county so desires, right? They have the option?
They have the option, yes.
And when you talk of stakeholders, we're talking of schools and teachers, right?
We actually did talk with some parents as well,
mm-hmm.
and students. When we got the comments back from the policy, we had over 200 students that responded.
All right. How do you answer those? Somebody out there is going to go say, "Oh, here we go. They're dumbing down the requirements."
Yeah, the optics. Of thinking about dumbing down credits because we're reducing credits, just a quick conversation and helping them to see the innovation in scheduling that some of our administrators have come up with.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take but a little bit of time for them to see, well, this really is,
yeah.
Can be very good. But you know, with that, the great responsibility of that local flexibility, it's important that that we work together and that we look at some really strong scheduling.
And we're talking about changes that affect electives, right? We have not made any changes to the requirements in core subjects.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We require 4 English, 4 math, 3 science, 4 social studies, an art, a PE, and a health. And then we have the 4 electives instead of 6.
Okay.
That's the change.
And when you CTE, you were talking about community technical school type programs, and I know here in Harrison County, certainly an accommodation has to be made for travel time. So what you're suggesting is those students would have a greater opportunity to get involved in those classes and not lose time and still be involved at the school.
Absolutely.
At their home school. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the other counties? Are there still counties that require even 26 or 28 credits and they might just keep it the same?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. They will have that flexibility. I'm sure they'll be having conversations with their local stakeholders, and depending on their high school schedules, it's allowing them to think a little creatively.
Yeah, you mentioned the public comments, which went on for over a period of time. It was essentially dramatically in favor of making this change.
That we had For some of the reducing the social studies credits, they were very much against that.
Okay.
We had a lot of folks were very in favor of keeping the social studies, so we did not reduce it. But there was a lot of comments and response for reducing the graduation credits. Yeah.
And I actually think I jumped ahead of myself a little bit. We're talking with Dr. Lou Manis, West Virginia Assistant Superintendent for Teaching and Learning with the State Board of Education. I think that dramatically favorable reply might have been more to the 10-point grading scale, which is the next thing I wanted to address. Explain that for us, if you could.
Yes. The grading scale, the adoption of that 10-point grading scale will provide our students with an opportunity to compete with their counterparts in our neighboring states for college admissions, athletics, and national awards. It's going from the 93 to 100 an A, it will be 90 to 100 is an A. And it just levels the playing field for our students while maintaining our high academic standards. And it was very much overwhelming in favor.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of adjacent school systems in adjacent counties, adjacent states, use that 10-point scale, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, so we were actually at a disadvantage. Does the Board of Education, State Board of Education, help schools work their way through this type of transition if they, in fact, decide that we are going to lower the number of required credits?
The Division of Teaching and Learning, the staff here is very much a provider of technical assistance in any capacity that a school system calls us. We definitely want to support all areas of teaching and learning.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any indication early on as to how many county school systems might take you up on this and make a change?
I believe that given the number of folks out there who were very pleased with the reduction, they will make some changes, yes.
And here, I'm throwing one out from left field here that you may or may not know the answer to this one. I just read it, and I've been looking for somebody to ask the question. I thought I read there was some consideration about letting people use band or theater or chorus to qualify as PE credit toward graduation. Am I right? Or do you know?
You're absolutely correct.
Talk about that. I thought that was really cool. And I don't totally disagree with it. I mean, I've seen what some of these choral groups do. It's it could easily qualify for PE.
Yes, absolutely. So there's quite a bit of flexibility with the high school physical education credit.
Uh-huh.
They can take the regular physical education class. They can do an integrated PE class where there's an online component for those standards that are in addition to the physical activity piece. And then a county can consider show choir or dance for that physical activity piece of that.
Yeah.
Another piece that's very interesting is the JROTC.
Okay, the military reserve officer training corps.
Yes,
yeah.
And, you know, that's very rigorous.
Yeah.
So that
okay.
can fill. And then extracurricular and interscholastic activities, they're very those rigorous activities. Those as well.
Okay. So quite a few other ways that we're accommodating some of these students to get those required credits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very nice. Dr. Lou Maness, hey, thanks for joining us. That's good good information. I was kind of curious about some of those changes and why they were being made.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you along. That's all the time we have for now. However, we're going to take a break, and we'll be joined by Hoppy Kercheval. We'll find out what's going to be coming up next on Metro News Talk Line right after this.
You're listening to The Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
I don't know, Hoppy, in Washington, D.C., apparently they still haven't quite learned the art of the deal, have they?
Not yet.
How is it affecting West Virginia, the shutdown?
Well, we'll talk about that some today,
okay.
And it depends. It's a little complicated. I mean, the mail will be delivered today as usual. Some federal offices are closed. Some are operating half-staff. Some are open and operating. It just depends. My understanding is that Social Security checks will continue to go out, that there would not be any delay in that, or Medicare bills will continue to be paid, I believe. That's my understanding. So it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's okay. All over the place.
Yeah. What else we got going on?
Well, that. I mean, that's the big story.
Yeah, that's what
and
I thought.
Coming up,
yeah.
We'll talk with several of our representatives in Washington, D.C. We'll start with U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito at 10:06 because there is a big vote in the Senate coming up at noon today, which could, if it passes, reopen the government. We'll talk to her about that and get her take on all this. Also, two members of the West Virginia Congressional Delegation, Evan Jenkins from the 3rd, will join us at 10:45, and Alex Mooney from the 2nd will be with us at 11:45. They have a little bit different take on the shutdown, and we'll talk to them this morning. Also coming up, Brad McElhinney, Metro News statewide correspondent, on what to expect from the West Virginia legislature today and this week. And Gail Manchin, Secretary of the Department of Education and the Arts, she'll join us, and she's upset because there's a bill
right.
that is moving at the state capitol that would eliminate the that agency, the Department of the Education and the Arts, and shift those responsibilities to other state departments. So she will talk about that. And also joining us at 11:33, West Virginia State Police Superintendent Colonel Jan Cahill. They have a number of vacancies in the West Virginia State Police, and they're trying to fill those vacancies with a new class or classes. and we'll find out where that stands. So all that and more coming up on Talk Line beginning at 10:06, about 7 minutes from now.
And you busted a big story on Friday about the House of Delegates Republican leadership.
We did, in that House Speaker Tim Armstead announced on Talk Line Friday that he has decided not to run for re-election and instead is contemplating running for the West Virginia Supreme Court in 2020. And I wrote today about what happened. I doubt if Armstead barely got the words out of his mouth before everybody started contemplating.
That's the next question.
Yeah, who would be next? Yeah. And I laid out a list. It's called my way too early list of who would be in running for the speaker. And I threw out about six names of likely candidates. So that's there at WVMetroNews.com.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Hoppy.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. All right. We are just about wrapped up. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to lead off talking to a program director and owner of a new TV station in Fairmont. It's pretty much just a movie channel, low-power station, but we'll find out how you pick it up. And then we're going to talk about the County Community Association's director, Vivian Parsons. We'll have all that tomorrow. We hope you can join us. Hope you have a great day. Stay safe.